From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, New York Times bestselling author Whitley Strieber joins us. The Changing Planet and Worldwide UFO Activity. Two parts in a wonderful program just ahead with Whitley Strieber. Here's what's happening. Imagine this. A ship goes down during World War II with 200 tons of silver, worth about $233 million today. It has been found in the Atlantic, the largest haul of precious metal ever discovered at sea. It was a United Kingdom cargo ship. It was sunk by a German U-boat in 1941, found by a U.S. exploration team called Odyssey Marine. That firm will retain 80% of the cargo's value under the terms of a contract with the Department for Transport. Only one person from the 85-strong crew survived that torpedo attack as the aging steamer tried to reach Ireland. Amazing story. Amazon's tablet, reportedly named the Kindle Fire, could be the first Android device to effectively challenge Apple's iPad, or it could end up as just another overhyped, underperforming tablet steamrolled by the Apple juggernaut. With less than 36 hours now until Amazon officially unveils its device, it's hard to say which way things will go. Let's check in with our tech guy, Leo Laporte. Leo, what do you think's going to happen?
Well, we think the name will be the Kindle Fire. How do you like that? It'll
yep.
be full color. And it'll be more than just books. It'll be TV shows, movies, magazines, too. We'll find out everything at 10 a.m. on Wednesday. But the price will be $250. That should include Amazon Prime, which is two-day shipping. And Amazon hopes it's going to be a portal to buying and consuming content from Amazon.
$250. These things could go, they could go like hotcakes.
Well, and that's what it's going to take to beat the iPad. You got to be more than just another tablet. You've got to be cheaper and better.
Is it the old razor blade razor routine where you're basically giving away the razor to get to the razor blades?
Yeah, Amazon's one of the few companies that can do this. They make money on the products that they
that's
sell.
Right.
So if you think about it, this is just a device, even if they sell it below cost, to get you to buy more stuff from Amazon.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thank you so much, Leo. About 80 people arrested this weekend as demonstrators were camped out near the New York Stock Exchange, marched through Lower Manhattan. The Occupy Wall Street protest entering now its second week. People are just unhappy the way things are going economically as that divide continues between the haves and the have-nots. It could get even worse. Stocks had their biggest gains, though, in more than 2 weeks. The Dow jumping 272 points. They got a little happy today over Europe. Now, tomorrow they may not be happy, and we'll see what happens there. Because of the economy, a lot of people over the years went out and they bought prepaid burial plots. Well, now they need to raise money, so they're starting to sell those plots. They're posting them online. They're using burial plot brokers. Also, funeral homes will market the real estate. Some of those advertisements show single plots starting at about $1,000, while family plots can go up as high as $50,000. People need some money now, so they're getting rid of their prepaid burial plots. Arch West, know him? Maybe not. A retired Frito-Lay marketing executive credited with creating Doritos as the very first national tortilla chip brand has died in Dallas at the age of 97. He's going to be cremated, and then his family's going to toss Dorito chips in before they put the dirt over the urn. A morgue has been built with a motion-detecting alarm system in case dead bodies come back to life. This is in Russia. A cemetery official said the mortuary's refrigerators were sensitive to movement inside. The slightest motion sets off an alarm. Then they'll try to go and get that person out. The refrigerator doors will also be built, though, with internal door handles, in case the person who died, who comes back to life, wants to let himself out. Here's a story for you dads. Dads are less likely to die of heart disease than men who have never had children, raising new questions about a possible biological link between male infertility and overall health. In Hawaii, a tower collapsed during a test run of a zip line there, sending one worker falling to his death and critically injuring another. Police say the man doing the test run, a 36-year-old from Maui, was halfway across the 2,300-foot span when the tower collapsed. He fell about 200 feet and died at the scene in 2 weeks. I had some friends who live in Hawaii. They were going on that very zip line. It's been shut down for now. A 6-ton NASA science satellite that we've been talking about for a couple weeks finally crashed to Earth, we think, on Saturday, leaving a mystery about where the ton of space debris may have landed. The U.S. Space Agency says they think it ended up in the Pacific Ocean. And also, an aspiring filmmaker from Alberta, Canada, started a online hoax, social hoax, saying that the satellite had crashed 40 miles south of Calgary. Well, that was a joke, too. But Richard Hoagland, he always watches the skies. Did this thing come down or not, Richard? Well, let's see. Where is Richard? Can't seem to get him. See if we can pop him in.
Well, you spent, George.
There you go.
Hey.
My phones are not working.
Oh, is that the only thing around not working?
Yeah, really.
This is a weirder and weirder mystery. It's getting deeper and more bizarre, which, of course, when you're dealing with NASA, is kind of, you know, SOP, right? This thing was supposed to come in. We were on stage together, literally, when I got a little message from Robin's cell phone that, for some reason, it had gotten hung up at 100-mile altitude and was just orbiting around and around. And they claimed that it was supposed to come down between 9-something p.m. and 1 a.m. on Saturday morning. Well, it disappears. NASA says, well, it's gone. But no one saw it come in. Now, we've spent over the last, you know, Cold War 40, 50 years, trillions of dollars, literally trillions of dollars in the Defense Department constructing a global network of satellites. Infrared-equipped satellites that can spot, you know, the old joke used to be, not a sparrow can fall now that NORAD doesn't know about it.
That's right.
We've got the planet wired. There's an old network called MIDAS, a newer network called DSP, a brand-new satellite with state-of-the-art equipment was launched just a couple months ago in May called GEO-1, a $1.3 billion satellite in geosynchronous orbit over the Pacific Ocean. And nobody can tell us where this damn thing came. Something is wrong, George, and let me tell you what I think it is.
All right.
When you were on stage and I read you that story and all the 100 people in the audience, and you looked at me with your eyebrows raised and your mustache wiggling, you looked shocked. You looked really surprised.
I was.
You should have been, because it's impossible. Unless the secret space program, remember the guys we're not supposed to know that are up there?
Mm-hmm.
Used a tractor beam from an anti-gravity real spaceship to basically pluck it out of orbit and remove it from harm's way so nobody on the ground would get hit. However, the problem then is, how do you explain it didn't come down? You claim it disappeared over the biggest ocean on the planet where there are no radars. Oh, how convenient. All the stories, AP, Reuters, UPI, say, oh, there's no radar out there. Well, folks, you don't depend on radar. You depend on the infrared tracking system I just described.
And so, what amazes me too, Richard, is they have pinpointed satellite debris that might be 3 inches long.
Absolutely. And they keep the space station safe by telling them weeks in advance, oh, at 4:13, this 4-inch pen size thing is going to pass within 237.3 feet.
Yeah.
But here's the most interesting part of this. When these pieces came in, as I was saying that night on stage, some of them, the bigger chunks, the 300-pound chunks of steel, should have burned brighter than the sun during their entry. They should have been visible for 1,000 miles. They should have been visible on these infrared satellites. It almost would have blown out the centers on the satellites, and nobody at NASA or the Air Force or the Defense Department knows anything about where this thing fell. Give me a break.
Good research there, Richard. Good research indeed. I'll be back in a moment as we talk about psychic energy on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Tonight, for this hour, we're going to talk about the nature of psychic energy. Two guests for you. Well, first of all, let me introduce Rochelle Sparrow. She's been on the program before. She spent years isolated from the world around her. Why? Well, because growing up in a home suffering from all kinds of atrocities and the neglect, she found comfort in nature, and nature became her friend, her teacher. Rochelle was 24 years old when her abuser died. She entered into therapy and recovered from clinical depression and post-traumatic stress syndrome. She then developed her skills as a psychic trance channel through years of shamanic journeying. Here's Rochelle back on Coast to Coast. Rochelle, how are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me on. I so appreciate it. And thank you, everybody out there, for supporting our work. Thank you.
Likewise, because our work includes Courtney Kane. They wrote a book called Within the Power of the Universal Mind, spent her childhood at home taking care of her mother, who was passing on. She had no adult support, was taught to be strong, to take care of others, and not show how badly she was hurting. Courtney recognized her potential for psychic abilities a week after her mother's death. She had many loved ones pass and all coming to her once they died. Courtney started to heal through meditation, and her abilities became very, very strong. Here she is on Coast to Coast. Courtney, how are you?
I'm wonderful, George. Thank you so much. Just as Rochelle said, we so appreciate your support and allowing us to be on tonight, and of course for all the listeners and supporters of our work.
Well, you two do great work, and I've always been interested, of course, in psychic energy. Tell me, first of all, with you, Rochelle, how did you and Courtney get involved in this?
Well, through our lives, we really focused in on our own healing, and we developed our abilities as psychics through a part of our healing. So our daughters got together in school, and they became fast friends. And then one day I went over Courtney's house, and she happened to be painting, and I looked at her paintings, and I said, you know what you're doing, don't you? And she said, no. She really wasn't quite ready to come out of the closet quite yet about her psychic abilities. And I said, well, I think you're painting energy. And she goes, oh, I guess I am. And then after that, it was all out in the open, and she really disclosed to me that she was psychic, and throughout her life she's had many, many experiences and dreams and getting messages from guides and angels about loved ones and about other people. So we became very fast friends and close, and then we just started to develop our work together. We have a very, very close view of how we see the world around us, and we actually developed our own psychology called the Psychology of Universal Mind, and we decided to write a book.
Well, good for you. Now, Courtney, let's talk a little bit about psychic energy for a moment. What about people who are energy zappers? They suck energy from other people. What do they look like?
Well, I think that they look like you, me, and Rochelle. They look like our husbands. They look like our sisters, our best friends, our everything. And I would say at times in our lives, I would say that even we have been energy zappers. I think when we're not healed, when we're not at our best, we are taking from other people. There's always a give and take. Now, I've always been empathic. Unprotected, and I would say in my younger years, would be in a room with somebody and completely feel exhausted. I was feeling their feelings.
Right.
They were zapping me. They were, as you put it, and really, I was not protecting my own energy. I was not protecting my own strength, my own core, but at the same time, I wasn't healed. I had a lot of blocks, a lot of things that kept me from my own power. So I think that when we learn to trust ourselves, when we learn to trust our abilities, and we learn to really learn what is our energy and what is the other person's energy, we are then able to really filter that and really be stronger.
Well, and it's tough because in life you have your ups and downs, and sometimes even the most positive person energetically will have a bad day and loses sight on the ability to keep that psychic energy going, don't they?
Amen. Absolutely.
Hey, Cam, I think, Courtney, that was such an excellent answer. But I think that when you stay with your own feelings and you stay with your own healing, you don't necessarily have to be positive. I don't think that being in the world and being with other people requires us to be positive. But it does require us to be real. It does require us to be authentic and in touch with how we're really feeling. If we're not aware of how we're really feeling, and we don't connect with how we're really feeling, that is going to enable us to be more of an energetic zapper in terms of faking it and therefore not really connecting to ourselves and other people.
Well, when you say you don't have to be positive, what about people, though, who kind of have a cloud over their head? Everything's negative. Everything. You know, they're not happy about their job, their relationship. Their health, I think, begins to suffer that way, too. How do those people pull themselves out?
Courtney, do you want me to answer?
It's like a heaviness on my chest even just thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I think there's a difference from that heaviness and that negativity
than what
Rochelle is speaking of.
Exactly.
That negativity is really, I would call it wallowing in it and really not taking the steps and the choices to move forward. Those people are definitely energy zappers. And I tell you, I've been one. I think, you know, we've all gone through those times in our life again, that it is difficult to get up. Sometimes it's difficult to work through things. But the difference is that Rochelle is talking about when you're authentically angry and you're authentically furious with somebody, you can authentically sit there and communicate this to that person and be in your feelings. And that's the difference. If you're feeling it and it is, it's valid. It's a valid feeling. And that feeling is absolutely necessary, just as it is to be happy and to be joyful.
Why is it important, Courtney, for people to recognize their abilities, their psychic energy abilities, and what they can or cannot do?
Well, I think that you, in your own way, will gain the power to move forward. You will gain the trust in your own abilities, and you can actually make better choices for yourself, for your life. It really broadens your path and can actually move you forward to the next step. When we don't own our ability and the energy within, which we call God. Energy is made up of God, just like we are made up of God energy. We are all made up of atoms, neutrons, all of that, protons. Everything is energy. When we own that power within, we own the God within ourselves, and that does come with our knowing. It does come with, again, broader horizons, broader choices.
Rochelle, what about the law of attraction? Is it out there?
Well, we don't necessarily believe in the law of attraction because it doesn't account for the unconscious. It doesn't account for our inner experiences inside of ourselves that we don't necessarily know about. And in our book, Within the Power of Universal Mind, we really describe a system whereby you can find out more about your inner energy through how it's reflected outside of you constantly. And when you look at that particular mirror that of your reflected energy outside of you, you could know more about your unconscious energy. But we're not masters of the universe in terms of that we have conscious control over all energy in the universe. It really doesn't work like that. Through our particular experiences in our many, many years of really looking at ourselves and analyzing ourselves through therapy and other means, we are connected to energy outside of ourselves, but we don't control or have dominion over that energy. It's an equal system, and it has equal say. The energy outside of us has equal say in terms of how it's going to create. But we do have conscious control over our own ability to heal and to find out more about how our unconscious needs healing and to really address the problems in our lives. So that's what we look at. We look at our unconscious energy, how it's creating our lives from the inside out, and how we can claim more consciously through self-awareness over our unconscious through our healing.
When we come back after the break, Rochelle and Courtney, I want you to tell us how people, if we're not tied in together totally through the law of attraction, how do people think about each other and then they somehow meet after all these years and things like that? Their websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com, co-authors of the book, Within the Power of the Universal Mind. I'm George Norrie, and you can reach me via email here at george@coasttocoastam.com. as well. When we come back, we'll take some of your phone calls because perhaps you have had some psychic energy experience. We'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM. You know, we have here what is called the Coast Insiders Club, where you can get special downloads and iPhone applications and work with your Androids and just have some fun video chats, normal text chatting as well. It's called the Coast Insider Club. And for 25 cents, what is it, a day? Something like that. You can become a member of that club. I have a personal goal of 1,000 new members in October. So go ahead to coasttocoastam.com. Right at the top, you'll see where it says Coast Insiders. You can click that. You can sign up for that and become a member of the Coast Insiders Club. And welcome back to Coast this hour, talking with Rochelle Sparrow and Courtney Kane about their work within the power of the universal mind. Courtney, if people are thinking about each other, they haven't met in 10 or 15 years, and all of a sudden that day they're both thinking of each other, they run into each other or one calls the other. What does that? I would call it the law of attraction. I would take it you and Rochelle think otherwise.
You know what? I would call that the law of healing.
That's so funny. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I think that is both people have done the work to meet at that time. Both of those people have really taken the steps, healed what they needed to heal. Say if you're talking about a relationship, say two lovers in the past, both maybe in relationships, and coincidentally, right, walk into the same restaurant. I think they've both really done the work to prepare for that moment.
But what's causing it? What's allowing that to happen?
Well, I think it's communication between energy. I think that once we have that shift inside of us, then all energy everywhere knows about that particular shift. I think energy has a built-in language. It can communicate with energy everywhere simultaneously at once. So something happens inside of us, we have that particular shift, then something happens outside of us that represents that inward shift.
It is the mirror.
Tell me about that.
Well, that's exactly what Rochelle was just stating, that if that person is doing the work and really healing the things that needed to be healed, unconsciously, what happens outside of ourselves really is laid out before us. The other person is actually doing the same exact work. Rochelle and our experience together, Rochelle and I will be going through our weekends. We will be going through the same type of energy. We will actually end up at the same locations multiple times
Without calling each other, right?
No.
Without calling each other.
Like
without calling each other.
Last weekend, we ended up exactly at the mall.
Everybody goes to the mall, Rochelle.
No,
this is Phoenix.
There's like choices of malls.
15 million malls here. But we ended up exactly at the same spot, the exact entry place, everything. But that's not a coincidence for us. We do it constantly.
Well, you know I don't believe in coincidences at all. I think everything is fate determined or connected.
I do, too. We do, too, exactly that way. I think that energy has that particular language where it's constantly talking to each other, meaning energy talks to energy, and that it represents something outside of us that we need to know about ourselves inside of us. It's a continued reflection of what's happening outside of us.
I've been doing a personal experiment about energy, and I'm not going to reveal it yet because it's still in its infant stage, but I'm beginning to see trends, and it works, and it is unbelievable, but I'll probably talk about it in about 3 months or so. I think my work, my personal work, will be complete by that time.
Well, that'd be very interesting. I'm very interested to hear about that experiment to find out what that is.
Yeah, it is different. Let's go to some calls. Bob in Hartford, Connecticut, first-time caller. Go ahead, Bob. Thanks.
Hi. I'm trying to figure out a way to get rid of negative psychic energy.
And now, is this within you, or is this coming at you from other people?
I don't know. Sometimes I'll perceive a negative event that'll happen. One really odd event was I woke up in the middle of the night from a very disturbing dream. I was sure my car got hit by a car. And then there were two tow trucks fighting to get my car away. And this was on vacation. I woke up the next day. My car was hit. And this was outside of a hotel. And then two tow trucks showed up and both stuck me with the bill.
Oh, boy.
Well, now, would that be negative psychic energy, Rochelle?
Well, what I think that is representing something inside of you that you may perhaps want to take a look at. Because what happens is that if we've had something happen to us, like a trauma in childhood or some negative event that really impacted us, then what happens is it recreates and it recreates and it recreates until we really begin to notice it and we really begin to heal it. So that incident is really empowering you to take a look further into your life, into your unconscious, and see what's going on within it. We'd be happy to channel about that.
Well, we may have to do that. And Courtney, you tell me, how do you get rid of negative energy?
Well, I think that there's many, many different ways to get rid of what some people call negative energy. I would say something that really helps me is meditation and really going within myself, really starting to filter out that energy and finding out what your own energy feels like, which is what our book is very helpful for. So you can really learn about energy, find out where your energy boundaries are, how to move other energy outside of your energy, and really start to filter that.
All right, let's go to Austin in Dublin, Georgia. Austin, welcome to the show.
Well, George, hello. How are you?
We are well, thank you.
Good. I really just kind of wanted to share a dream I had night before last, actually. My father's an electrician, has been for the past, say, 45 years. And recently with the economy and all, as you know, there's not a lot of construction going on, so work's been suffering. I had a dream night before last that a preacher friend of mine had called me and was telling me that he was going to revoke my father's electrical license because he hasn't done enough electrical work to maintain it. And I was just pleading with him. And in the middle of my pleading, my phone rings. And I wake up, and now we're in the real world. It's my father, and he's calling to tell me that four people had already called him that morning wanting jobs done and that business must be picking back up. And I guess my question to you, Courtney, was sometimes maybe is this universal consciousness, say, wrong or maybe even just pointing us in the right direction with just a random outcome, just to give us an idea of what's coming next. What are your thoughts on that? And I'll take it off the air.
All right, thanks. I don't think it's ever wrong, Courtney, is it?
No. I don't think it's ever wrong. As far as he asking that the dream was incorrect, is that what his
maybe does this consciousness somehow mislead you on purpose?
I would say no. It's not misleading you. It's leading you down the path that you need to be led down. I think that there are exercises or situations that you need to go through in order to heal, in order to look at it, in order to learn from it and move forward. So I do not think that it's misleading, no.
What's he doing wrong if things don't work out his way?
Sometimes the way that we think that it's supposed to work out is not the way that it's necessarily supposed to work out. I think that that's all about being in flow. It's all about being with where it is that you are, really working at your own energy again and taking the steps to move forward. I don't think that he's incorrect. Things may not line up the way that we intend them to, but again, that doesn't mean that it's wrong. I believe that it's supposed to be exactly the way that it is. We have to learn from that and move forward. There's another choice coming. Your view is going to expand.
Let's go out to California, and Scott's there. Hey, Scott, go ahead.
Hi, yes. Hi. I had a question about your thoughts on, as far as the universal knowledge. I had actually three near-death experiences during a 28-hour brain surgery.
Oh, my God.
And I was deceased for quite some time. My neurosurgeons were just shocked.
Shocked when you came back, huh?
Yeah, because my head neurosurgeon, who happened to be a world-class neurosurgeon, he had this look on his face I'll never forget, and I thanked him, you know, because he said, "Scott, we lost you three times." And I said, "I know, Dr. Kim." I said, "Thank you." And he said, "No, thank you." And I said, "Well, I just laid there and died on you." He said, and I said, "It wasn't me." And he said, "Scott, I've been doing this for many, many years." And he said, "I can tell you, if it was anyone but you, you wouldn't be here." He said, "Somebody wants you here very, very, very badly."
While those experiences, Scott, were going on, did you see anything else, anything different?
Oh.
On the other side?
Well, what I had was, I was at one, a complete oneness with the entire universe. I mean, the entire universe. Any astronomer would tell you that, you know, that would be impossible, that the universe is infinite, but I'm here to say that in our spirit, our true selves, with God, that nothing is impossible.
Did you have any helpers on the other side?
No, I was actually with the Lord, and he spoke to me.
Well, that's all you need.
Yeah.
You don't need much more than that.
He had spoke to me and said, when I was experiencing the universe, see, I was also, I guess you would call it, I was given a download of, or had access to all knowledge of the universe. I mean, I had absolutely no questions about any of it. I knew absolutely everything about the entire.
Well, let me tell you, Scott, for somebody who has gone through three brain operations, you're doing remarkably well, my friend. But can you imagine that, Rochelle, dying three times within a 20-plus hour period?
No, that's really an amazing experience, and I'm glad that you're here with us.
This God factor that he was talking about, you kind of alluded to before the break. Without getting too religious here, what is this?
Well, I think for you, Scott, it's really about having that infinite knowledge downloaded for you so that you can share it with us right now and millions of other people. So there are reasons as to why we're given those particular experiences so that we could expand and connect with other people to expand their particular point of view. And I think that's how we're really meant to connect with each other here in this dimension, is to really help each other expand our view, to help each other heal our connection with Source or God and with each other.
Courtney, is there anything that we can't do with the power of the mind?
No, I believe it's limitless. I think that we can do really anything that we really put our mind to use for. I think that we are incredible beings. I think that we are incredible creations. And I do believe that if you do the work and you're willing to look at the complete depth of you, you can really move forward and do anything that it is that you want to.
I think so, too.
I believe that.
I think you're both right on. Within the Power of the Universal Mind, where do you get this book, Rochelle?
SparrowCane.com. Join us on our website. You can purchase it there. It's also through Schiffer Publishing, Amazon, Barnes & Noble websites, Borders websites. And we'd be happy to have you. And also, I want to mention something very important. It's Courtney's Source Deck, which is a complete deck of universal laws to really help you align with how energy is structured, just to provide you with a framework for greater choices.
Well, you know what? I've got to tell you, the power of the mind is truly a remarkable thing, is it not? Let's go to Fort Myers, Florida. David, take it away.
Hi. Yeah. Hi. My name's Dave. Dave from Fort Myers, Florida, and I had something truly, truly remarkable happen to me, and it's really shaken my life up. I really can't tell you the excitement that it's caused in me for the last couple of weeks here now.
What happened to you?
Well, there was a girl. I won't use last names, but her name was Tina, and we dated a couple of times back in our teenage years, and for whatever reason or another, I think it was mostly me. I couldn't make any kind of a commitment, and I think it was mostly because we were, just kids.
Sure.
And I did eventually marry somebody else, and I'd spent the last 18 years married, 20 years total with this woman, and we've raised our two kids, and we've got seniors in high schools now and whatnot. But all through the years, I've never been able to forget about this girl. I've never been able to just completely wipe her out of my psyche altogether. There would be times when I would just be just overwhelmed with wanting to know how this person was doing, what was going on in her life, and had tried to search her out a couple of times. But to no avail, I've made no progress. And then I have no idea why, but I was coming out of a store in North Fort Myers one afternoon, and I turned the corner, I looked, and I saw the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen in my life. And I want to say it was more like a gratuitous thing. I kind of looked at her, and I was just eyeballing her. I really had no plans of talking to her or anything ever coming from it or whatnot. And I just was looking at her, and as she went by, I turned around to get one last look at her, and she turns around at the same time. She calls me out by name.
You didn't recognize her?
I completely didn't recognize her. I mean, almost 25 years had gone by since I'd seen her, since we were kids.
Give me a happy ending here, David. You got married to her or what?
Well, I'm not married to her yet, but I'm so trying to.
You're working it.
Yeah, we're now seeing each other for about 3 weeks, and she's a bit more skeptical about all of this, but I keep trying to tell her that it was fate. It had to be fate.
Have her listen to the show, Dave. We'll sell it for you. It'll be done. Trust me. Go for it. But those are great stories, Rochelle and Courtney, and they happen all the time, don't they?
Yes, they do, and they happen because there's meaning for us to learn from in terms of our own inner world, in terms of our own inner healing.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Well, you two, good luck with everything you both do within the power of the universal mind. Your websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And also, don't you have some events coming up?
We do. Courtney? We do have events coming up. They're always posted on our website.
Okay.
And we are managed by Ideal Event Management. But we've got one other exciting thing. We've got a new app on iTunes. You can find that information on our social
media. And what's the app called? How do they find it?
It's called the Source Deck. The Source Deck. DECK.
Okay. Very good. The Source Deck. You got it. All right. Very good. Up next, by the way, Whitley Strieber joins us as we talk about his work with Earth Changes and also UFO cases worldwide. He's got a upcoming book called Solving the Communion Enigma. We'll be back in a moment with Whitley Strieber on Coast to Coast AM.